Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, live here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is communicating. All of my guests will be talking about communicating a message in one form or another. My first guest has followed some rules and broken others during her marvelous career. She's best known as Jennifer Hart in the 1980s TV series Heart to Heart. She's a bit of a rebel, starring in her first movie under the alias of Taffy Pull back in 1965, and then facing her first bull at the age of 20. She's a bullfighting aficionado. We'll talk to Stephanie Powers about her memoir, One from the Heart. My second guest is the former vice president of marketing for two publicly traded technology companies. He's an unabashed technologist who knows how to use the internet to instantly engage a market, connect with customers, and create products that grow a business immediately. We'll discuss his latest book, Real-Time Marketing and PR. My third guest understands how to interpret and use nonverbal signals in business to assess and influence others. We'll discuss how to take your career from average to exceptional with the hidden power of nonverbal intelligence from his book, Louder Than Words. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. So if one measures Hollywood stars by traditional markers such as grace, beauty, and sophistication, then Jennifer Powers is the essence of what everyone considers a Hollywood star to be. If one measures a star by the quality of a person, by their sense of dedication for their concern to the world around them, their ability to step outside of themselves for the greater good, then Stephanie Powers really exemplifies the charming and thoughtful real-life equivalent of her stunning Renaissance woman Jennifer Hart character that she played in the television series Heart to Heart. Jennifer is the cornerstone of the William Holden Wildlife Foundation, a public charity dedicated to the preservation of wild animals, which Stephanie has helped to found in honor of the late actor for which she serves as the president today. That is located in Kenya, the Mount Kenya Safari Club, and the Mount Kenya Game Reserve as well. She's also affiliated with the Atlanta and Cincinnati Zoos. She's acted in 27 feature films, including McClintock. Some people may remember her from the cult classic, The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., and she's been in many miniseries as well. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. How are you today?
Well, that was a mouthful.
Well, it was, but you've done so many things in your career. And I think really what amazes me most is a comment that I read in your book about when you take the makeup off after you've filmed whatever it is that you're filming, is your real life as glamorous as the life that you just left on the set? And I would have
to
say...
Well, that wasn't my idea. That was Laurence Olivier.
Ah, the great Laurence Olivier.
Who said that. And he said it to me, so I can quote him. But it wasn't my original thought. Wish it had been, because it was far too clever.
Well, it is a very clever thought, but it really does exemplify your life. I mean, your life off the camera is probably as exciting, in some ways more exciting than it was on the camera. But let's start this way, if we can, please, because you're really a bridge between the golden age of Hollywood and the modern age now. You know, you have the style, the grace of the old Hollywood, but you've got the activism and the commitment of the new Hollywood, too. So, when you go home and you take off the makeup, why do you lead such an extraordinary life? I mean, what drives you to be such an extraordinary philanthropist and also activist outside of the world of acting?
Well, I don't know that I agree with you that the new Hollywood is completely, wearing a white hat. I think that they should be that the current youth generation or younger generation should be, because they grew up with the notion, you know, when, if they were growing up in the 1970s, it was the first time that the word conservation, preservation, even got into the popular lexicon. And people were being taught in schools about, you know, the idea that we were living on this planet and we ought to take care of it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of apathy about that, and where people might talk a good game because it's popular, very few people actually do something about it, and which is shocking and very disappointing.
Well, it is. But you, on the other hand, do something about that. I mean, you're out there every single day, and you're as active as anybody.
Well, I think more than anything else, I'm, as a baby boomer, I'm kind of a product of that activist generation where we said, no, we will put our money where our mouths are, and we're not just going to talk a good game. We're going to try and change the world. Not because we're serving ourselves, but because we wanted to make a world that was better for more people, not just for, you know, the upcoming generations. You know, I find everybody saying, well, we want to keep these animal species alive for the upcoming generations. But when you talk to a lot of young people, I don't know that they're as committed as my generation was.
Mm. All right, we're talking.
And we have to, our job now is to infuse young people to, there was somebody I read, listened to somebody today on CNN where they were talking about maybe we should practice one day a week without of all of our toys and tools and things we put on our ears and heads and everything to get us, move us farther and farther away from one another, far away from nature, we're isolating ourselves through our machines. And if one day a week we could just listen to birds and hear what's going on in the world around us, maybe we would become more responsible citizens when it comes to the preservation of our planet.
Oh, Stephanie, I agree with that, except for the exception of radio. We don't want to do without radio, do we? We're talking to Stephanie Powers. One From the Heart is her memoir, and we're talking about her life in Hollywood, her life as an activist as well. You have starred in so many movies, Stephanie, that 27, according to my research here. I just want to shotgun some names at you and ask for your top-of-mind reaction to some of the people's names that I throw out. And I'm going to start with John Wayne, because he starred with you in a movie called McClintock, which is a favorite movie of my wife's and mine. We'll stop whatever we're doing to watch that movie. So tell us about the Duke. What was he like working with him?
Well, you don't have enough time, I don't think. But just let me synopsize it by saying that, as you said, I sort of came in to, I began working as a teenager in the transitional period between the old studio system, the Star system, where they had a stable of people under contract, and they used those people in all sorts of films and loaned them out to other studios for films. I came into that world where they really brought you up as a product of the company, and really trying a good representative of the company and of the products that the company made, which were movies that frequently you would be sent out on the road to sell through publicity campaigns.
Hmm.
So it was a very different kind of approach to life, and work and values were completely different. Then the transition of, I wasn't even allowed to do television until the studio sold me to MGM and for The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. Then all this, these many transitions that have occurred over the years have been a very interesting ride. And, you know, we were raised, those of us who were fortunate enough to have grown up in that other system, were raised to think of the long term and to hope that we would, you know, ride the crest of the wave, and then, you know, as things changed in one's life, that you would get to play the character roles. And you were looking at a career in a long range perspective, and therefore when you tried to become an actor, you tried to become an actor who got into those characters rather than kind of a present day consideration, that it's more a cult of personality. And when you, you know, we don't necessarily tolerate seeing some of our favorite actors put on a fake nose or another wig and become somebody else. Although there are lots of young and wonderful actors who can do that, they don't get the chance to as much. It's kind of shame because every once in a while when you do see someone like Matt Damon in True Grit take on a whole new persona, he was fabulous and it was just brilliant. Of course, the European actors do that all the time, and then we applaud them and say, oh, my God, why can't we do that? Well, we can. We just don't get a chance because, you know, the popular culture wants to sell everybody, you know, in a very contemporary way.
We're talking to Stephanie Powers, everybody, her memoir, One from the Heart. Stephanie, let me shotgun another name at you, your co-star in Heart to Heart, Robert Wagner. What was he like, or what is he like?
Well, we're very good friends, so it's very difficult for me to be objective about it. And we certainly spend a great deal of time together professionally. So, you know, I think of him as part of my family, and we're in touch a lot. I saw him 2 days ago, and we're, you know, it's sort of these are many. You hear people say, "Oh, you know, this doing that movie or doing this." Television show was, we were a great big family. Well, I think once you've experienced that kind of close working condition, and in Heart to Heart, we were in every scene.
Mm.
So we worked, 14 hours a day. And when everybody, all the guest stars were finished, we would shoot. We'd put our pajamas on and we'd jump into bed with 65 people in the crew watching us. And we would do those Jonathan and Jennifer scenes. Usually at about 11 o'clock at night when we'd be so tired that we could hardly stop laughing. We were so giddy. But they were wonderful memories and it was a fabulous period in both of our lives. And we hold that always as a kind of unspoken bond between the two of us.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's very heartfelt. I'm going to throw another name at you, William Holden. But before you answer, I loved what you wrote in the book in the first chapter, Kenya, that you once lovingly said you looked at this man. He was tanned. He was sitting at the wheel of a Land Rover there in Africa. And he looked more like an actor then More like a movie star then than he ever did and on the screen. What did you mean by that?
Well, just what I said. You know, in real life, he looked more like a movie star than ever he did on the screen. And was part of I never really wanted to write a book. I never really thought me or talking about me was an interesting pursuit. I've never been self-possessed or self-obsessed. I've always thought that there were so many more people around that were more interesting than I was. And indeed, that's true, because I've found them in odd places around the world doing extraordinary things, and they don't get on the cover of magazines. And they probably should. But therein was one of the reasons that I never really thought about myself in terms of a book. But in 2009, I had two... what I consider to be life-changing events that occurred to me sequentially, the death of my mother and my own surgery and removal of lung cancer. And while I was recovering from both events that happened really on the heels of each other, my mother and I had an exceptionally close relationship. I miss her every day, and she was not only she was a guiding light. She was my rock. She was the ballast for my ship, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, this feeling of personal violation by having cancer in my body. And while I was recovering from both events, which I consider to be events, I was looking through my mother's possessions, and of course I discovered that everything I threw out, she saved. Which was, I was very grateful for, because as I read, you know, letters that I had sent her, postcards from all over the world, entries into her own diaries, I walked down, the road of a memory lane, that made me aware of the fact that life had changed so dramatically, and that one's relationship to one another had changed. People's relationships with each other, the way in which our lives continually crossed within the Hollywood world as well as around the world with a certain group of people who were either making documentaries about wildlife or just people who were traveling around the world who all seemed to know each other doing interesting things.
Oh, amazing.
So there was a much smaller community, obviously. Probably the population of the world is probably half of what it is today anyway.
Right.
But I thought when somebody pushed me to, you know, put some of these little stories together, I think it was a weak moment. a weak moment, and out of it came one from the heart.
Well, it is an extraordinary read, and one of the things I wanted to get out, because I know you're on time schedules here, one of the things I wanted to get out, though, before we let you go is, how did you develop the acting bug, Stephanie?
Well, let me just finish the,
my
previous statement by saying that in addition to everything else, I also wanted to make very clear and set the record really straight about Bill, what kind of the quality of the man that he really was, go on record with some things that were actually accurate and true and not inflammatory, as there had been with a very unfortunate book that was written after his death. I don't think he deserved that as an epitaph, and my version of it is much more accurate. It paints the true picture of the man, and not some journalistic fiction that was inflamed by quite an unfortunate book.
Well, that in and of itself is an extraordinary reason for people to go out and get One from the Heart. We're talking to Jennifer. We're talking to Stephanie Powers, whose role was Jennifer Hart in that movie. Stephanie, I do know you have to run, so thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll
thank
talk to you down
much.
The road.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Take care.